we do see specifically careless consumption is linked to product as a service, and their sort of increased consumption of other goods and services or increased demand of the same service. That is also a rebound we see.
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models. Welcome to the 7th episode of PaaS Decoded, 16 conversations about the fine details of product as a service. In the last episode, Andrew Shannon elaborated on the role of the assets for funding a circular business. In today's episode, we look at rebound effects caused by product as a service businesses and how to mitigate them. She has degrees in zoology and biochemistry and environmental sciences, policy and management. She worked at the United Nations Industrial Development Organization. As a startup co-founder, she developed and implemented the business model design for a circular water reuse solution. At Maastricht University's CircularX project, she focuses on experimentation with circular business models. She is the lead author of the research paper with the title, How Do Companies Measure and Forecast Environmental Impacts When Experimenting with Circular Business Models? Welcome, Ankita.
Thank you, Patrick. You have a nice introduction.
Ankita, what's the last thing you personally regretted?
The last thing? Yeah, probably buying too much. I don't buy a lot of new clothes. And I don't, I'm very conscious with my consumption in that way. But then I do fly more often than I should, or travel more often than I should.
Would that qualify as a rebound effect?
I think it would, actually.
Okay. How would you explain a rebound effect?
Well, rebound effects, they're not anything new, actually. We've known about them since the 1860s. And the first time they were documented was in energy efficiency literature. So they observed that when you make steam engines more efficient, you build more steam engines. And so it's called the Evans paradox. But now we also see them in circular business models and in sustainable business models where they offset the intended environmental gains. So to define it, it's the difference between the actual and intended savings of environmental impact gains. So sometimes they can unfortunately be quite high. So they can be about 50% can be offset, or even more, sometimes 100%, causing a backfire effect, as we call it in academia. So that's what they are.
Okay. And when you say backfire effect, in what way is a backfire effect different from a rebound effect?
A backfire effect is a rebound effect. It's just when the rebound is more than 100%. So if the initial business model, if you have an initial business model and then you transition to a more circular strategy, if the rebound of the circular strategy is more than 100%, so actually your environmental impact is higher than the first business model you started off with, then that's a backfire effect. A rebound on its own is when it's less, if you wanted to have a 30% impact reduction, but you only get 20% because there's a 10% rebound.
And when you say 20%, 30%, 100%, you refer to a baseline metric you defined before, like material consumption or carbon emissions, or what's this 100% about?
It can vary. So there's different ways of measuring rebounds. So you can measure it in terms of CO2 equivalent, or in terms of GHG emissions, or water usage. So there's many different ways of measuring it, and it depends.
And a rebound would then be if, let's say, my service reduces the absolute greenhouse gas emissions of a single utility or a single contract by, let's say, 30%, but this overall leads to a higher demand, so that in absolute terms, the total greenhouse gas emissions increase.
Yeah, that is an example.
What are popular examples from, let's say, nowadays when it comes to rebounds?
Well, the one you mentioned is, I think, one that's talked about a lot, where, yeah, savings or efficiency strategies cost, whether it's time or monetary savings for the consumers. And then that is sort of offset with increasing demand for the same product or for other goods and services. Another example with products as a service business models is that of careless consumption. So when the users do not feel like they have as much an ownership with the product, they can treat it a bit more carelessly. And then that can cause the service provider to have to replace the products more often. And then that increases the environmental impact of the business in the long term.
Two more questions about the conceptual idea of rebounds. Does it require a certain threshold, absolute or relative, when we talk about rebounds?
I wouldn't say there's any specific threshold. I mean, you can have a 1% rebound, and then that is something you should just factor in into the cost of doing business and into the eventual environmental impact that you report. But it can also be a lot higher than that. So it really depends.
And can any business activity cause rebound effects?
No. So we try to make a distinction between what is a rebound effect and what is an unintended consequence.
I'm curious.
Yeah, these get confused a little bit sometimes. I used to get confused with them as well. But not everything is a rebound effect. So some things are just unintended consequences. So for example, if I have a rental business model and I rent out clothes, and that is something I'm trying to do, moving away from a linear business model of just selling the clothes I had, and now I'm trying to rent them out. But now I have to wash them, and I have to do the reverse logistics of getting the clothes back to my warehouses, etc. And those aspects have an environmental impact as well. And then if you compare the impact of the rental business model with the linear of just selling to consumers, it can be that your rental has a higher impact when you include the washing and the reverse logistics and the energy costs. But then that is an unintended consequence, not a rebound, because it would be an impact of the rental business model anyway, even if the linear business model did not exist. A rebound specifically would be when, in this rental business model, consumers use the clothes more because they have access to the service and there's a higher demand because they might have saved some money. So it's important to make this distinction, because otherwise everything is considered a rebound, right? If you dilute the definition too much.
So the key differentiator is the customer behavior that drives additional consumption?
Well, in this example, but the key differentiator is what would be fundamental environmental impact of a business model and what is sort of an induced system-wide impact. And that is the difference. What is an impact that would exist anyway if you tried to make a rental business model, washing and reverse logistics is part of that. But if you have these other aspects of careless consumption and, increased demand, that is sort of outside the direct consequence of having a rental business model. So that is a rebound.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that as a provider who's doing textile subscriptions, you have to expect this kind of customer behavior. You have to factor it in. It's part of the model if you don't design your proposition consciously.
Well, yes and no. It sort of depends on where you draw this boundary. And this is where, in literature at least, we try to draw this boundary.
Okay.
Because otherwise, everything becomes a rebound effect. What is just generally an environmental impact of a business model is also then considered a rebound, which isn't quite correct.
Okay, got it. Let's move on to product as a service in particular. You already mentioned it here and there. Do you see some rebounds that most likely always occur in product as a service specifically compared to other businesses?
Yeah, I think there are some. So the literature on this is really early stage, both in academia, but also I've seen some examples of companies trying to measure for this. So it's still very limited. But we do see, yeah, specifically careless consumption is linked to product as a service, and the sort of increased consumption of other goods and services or increased demand of the same service, that is also a rebound we see. But it's not, that one isn't specific to product as a service. And then this is another one that's specific to mobility products and services. So when you have car sharing, or those kinds of business models, we see a modal shift that happens, and what that means is consumers shift usage from certain activities which were positive in the beginning to other activities which might not be. So they have access to a car. Maybe there are some consumers in that consumer base who were going around with a bicycle or with walking or public transport, but now they use the car, which increases the impact. But that also has to be weighed a little bit with what is a positive rebound and what is actually helping people's lives and making the quality of life better.
And now I just heard positive rebound. So what's a positive rebound?
So positive rebound is considered to be something that, well, there's two ways to talk about it. One is where rebound actually decreases the environmental impact that you intended, so it decreases it further than you were anticipating. Okay. And the other side of it is also, you can refer to rebound, but there can be rebound effect, and so your environmental impact can increase, but perhaps it gives access to goods and services to communities that didn't have access to it in the beginning. They were impoverished in some way or didn't have access to mobility solutions, and now they do, and they now use it. And that is just fundamentally giving access to a dignified life. So then it's a balance of, do you really want to remove that to avoid the rebound?
And when I started to look into literature about circularity and product as a service, I realized that product as a service is sometimes seen as a key instrument to reduce the overall resource consumption. Product as a service will save us all and decouple growth from resource consumption. Is it delivering on that promise?
Yes and no. I think in some cases it is quite successful, but we're seeing now more and more that there are these sort of negative and unaccounted for rebounds of product as a service that really undermine the promise of how much savings it can have for environment for society and the planet.
Yeah. Can you name one good and one bad example?
We do see lots of cases of rebounds occurring, right? In mobility, in household appliances through product as a service, through clothing rental, where these aspects sort of undermine the impact. But and then there's some signs of success where the structuring of the business model is such that it really incentivizes careful consumption and reducing consumption. So there's the case of the Homey washing machines, which is a washing machine service where you rent the washing machine and then you pay per use. And then within that, the company incentivizes you to wash colder washes. And then they did observe that the customers do change the washing behavior and reduce the number of washes they do and also wash colder. So that would be a sign of success in that setting.
That brings me to the topic of measurement. Yeah, in that case, it was the amount of water being used or energy. Is there any general approach towards measuring rebound effects? What are essential steps there?
I think it is quite complicated at the moment. There's a lot of development and research ongoing in this field. So the studies that I see do attributional or consequential life cycle assessments, they're called, where you incorporate the decisions, the different scenarios and decisions a user might take into your LCA and calculate that. There's also use of causal loop diagrams or system dynamics modeling, it's called, where, again, you bring in all the behavioral mechanisms that a consumer might do and then sort of bring it in into your assessment methods. So yeah, there's some research happening on this and some of it is quite promising, but we're not there yet where we have like a gold standard of how to do this.
Are there any examples from business practice that has a level of complexity a company can use on a regular basis?
I have seen some business reports in conferences I've been to where they do measure. This was a specific case of an outdoor rent goods rental company. And then they forecasted the environmental impact of a potential rental business. And they did an LCA of different scenarios and then sort of developed their business model based on that. So they got these results that said after a certain number of uses, a certain tent or so has a much higher impact for the business than if it would be sold to a customer. So then they incorporated that into their business model. It's really promising to see that, but I've only seen that one example within business so far.
Are there any metrics that stand out when you're looking at rebound effects?
I think usually it's the carbon dioxide emissions that are equivalent and the GHG emission reduction. So it's these are the ones I see. And then sometimes it's also water.
Yeah, I just recall when we back in Blue Movement had a conversation about our product circularity indicator, and we had, I think, 18 different indicators. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could also add land use, you can add overall material consumption, and you can also break that down. And at some point, you reach an aggregation level where it's just hard to trade one for the other. You have to make choices, commercial choices, moral choices, what you're trying to optimize for. Yeah, but that's probably, I mean, that's unique to a business setting, the business product, also the company strategy. What are the key metrics? And you probably use them as a key basis for the rebound effect calculation. When it comes to business models, and also with the case you mentioned, it's in many cases also about future propositions, how to build a new offering, make it more appealing for customers, but also better for the environment. How can you predict rebound effects, if that's possible at all?
I think early detection is the best way to do it. So when a business is still in the experimentation phase of trialing a new business model, they're doing A/B testing or different types of pilots, that's the time you sort of need to think ahead and think about what can be the potential rebounds and how could we go about mitigating them, or just even being aware of them, I think, goes a long way already. So yeah, there are some tools out there that can help with this. So using those or just actually doing an actual quantitative measurement that is within your resource set capability.
Are you aware of any, let's say, my reports or rebound effect cards that you play?
Very, very, because lovely transition to this tool that I worked on with my colleagues, and it's called the Circular Rebound Tool. And we tried to develop a qualitative tool for business designers or product designers or developers, because it's often the case when in that early experimentation phase, there's not enough data on the actual service or product. And it's good to have a quick tool that can give you an overview of what the impact of your business model could be. So it does not replace quantitative measurements, but it does give an idea of potential rebound effects of different types of business models. So like recycle, remanufacture, or rental. And then you sort of take these business models and you ideate with them on a mirror board and you use it in a life cycle map to look at the full life cycle of a product or service. And then also you get the opportunity to look at some potential rebounds and waste
yeah.
magic.
Okay. Once you identified potential rebounds, do you see any common mitigation strategies, or is it always dependent on the specific proposition?
I think there are some common ones. So especially in the case of careless consumption, it's been documented that if as a business you increase the feeling of ownership of that your users feel towards the products that they rent out or use through your service, then there is a higher likelihood of products being cared for longer and taken care of longer. We also do see pricing mechanisms or price control to prevent careless consumption. So if there's significant damage to a product or service, a high penalty is often a deterrent to prevent that. There's also some solutions with the gamification of the use to incentivize more positive use cases and prevent frivolous use. And we also see some cases of increasing awareness of consumers. So giving more direct information about how certain actions that they might take with their consumption increase environmental impact, or what is the direct CO2 footprint of that, and sort of informing really about that. And then that can also deter some of the rebounds of induced demand of other products and services, for example, or of the same service. Yeah, so that those are things that we find that business can do. There's a whole host of policy interventions, of course, that can help and that are really necessary for this to sort of solve this dilemma of rebounds. But yeah, that's for business.
When I hear you talking about these strategies, some circular strategies come to my mind and some, let's say, overall discussions. One is the refuse strategy from the R strategies. Another one is, of course, also the, let's say, sufficiency discussion. What's the relationship between, let's say, rebound effects and these refuse and sufficiency conversations?
I would say that these strategies, sufficiency and then refuse, they can sometimes be a solution for a rebound effect, but at the same time, they can also have rebound themselves. So,
no.
I know. It's all in loops. Yeah, so in a sufficiency strategy, for example, if a business incentivizes the consumer to use less in one setting, then any time or monetary or energy savings made can again be offset in a different setting. And the way around that is to also incentivize consumers to, when they do spend that saving of time and energy and money, to do it in a way that has an overall positive impact. So to spend the savings into better sustainable innovations are into products and services that are regenerative. So we're not saying that any of the hard-earned money that consumers save should not be spent. It's more about really incentivizing sustainable investments essentially in the grander scheme of things.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that makes sense. Akita, I have three final questions, and they're a bit more general. The first one is, what is the main thing you need to ensure as a brand or manufacturer before you want to start a circular product as a service?
I think that's a good question. I think the main thing to keep in mind is to try and forecast in environmental impacts when you're still trialing your product as a service, you're still thinking about it, because in that way, you prevent yourself from being locked in and making certain investments that are lock you in for the medium to long term that have a higher environmental impact. So I would say, think about what are the true actual environmental impact gains or losses of this new type of business model you want to trial, and try and map out any potential rebound effects, whether you do it quantitatively, if you can, wonderful, great. If you can't, I think a qualitative way is already a good start. If you use, for example, the circular rebound tool, or if you find other tools and services that are similar that prompt you to think about these things.
Okay, Clear. Second question, significant trends you see in circular product as a service for the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think more generally, I see this struggle to account for rebound effects and how to mitigate them. And it gets complicated because so much depends on the use space mm-hmm. in products as a service. And I also see a significant attention being put on how consumers can be made to feel that they still have ownership of a product that they use as a service. And I think those are the two do nuts to crack.
And my last question is about sharing knowledge and connecting people, okay. since that's a ambition of Circularity FM. Maybe you have some research questions, challenges, opportunities these days, and someone is listening right now. What kind of people should reach out to you?
Yeah, I think I would be really interested to hear from anyone who is in business or who's a consultant who is struggling with some of the things we talked about today. If you're a business who is trying to measure your rebounds, I would love to hear from you and hear about what are your struggles with it and how we'll go about it in practice. Because we also see this difference of things that us academics think up in research, but it don't really translate into my real life. So,
cool. So if that sounds like you, please reach out to Ankita. Thanks a lot for your time and sharing your insights about rebound effects. So quite a few surprises for me. And looking forward to where we will be standing in 5 years from now when it comes to rebounds. Thanks, Ankita.
Thank you very much for having me.
This was another episode of PaaS Decoded, 16 conversations about the fine details of product as a service. If you liked it, share this episode with colleagues or on social media. If you missed a question or topic, please send me an email so I can improve the conversations for you. If you learned something from this episode, please provide a review via Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps others to discover the podcast. And don't forget, the most abundant renewable resource is your imagination. My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.